making it look as if he'd lost his balance.
Don't panic.
A thug shoved him aside. He put all his weight into pushing on the heavy iron anchor. Another thug joined in, and the anchor wobbled.
Don't hurt Eric. He's an innocent.
Like you are innocent of snooping and putting yourself in my way? You know too much about our operation, as does your friend.
He's just a kid. If you've kept him drugged, he won't remember a thing. Eric's father financed our trip here. You'll have him on your ass if you don't send his son home in pristine condition. If you don't go to jail for arms dealing, then kidnapping and murder tends to alter a man's choice of Armani to Prison Orange.
I'll take that into consideration. See you around, Miss Creed. Mr. Slater.
Anya's wrists were jerked roughly. The anchor wobbled onto its curved face, and the eye of the iron weight tilted toward the sky. The heavy weight rolled over the end of the dock, splintering the wood. Anya stumbled on a piece of serrated wood as she was literally dragged forward.
Hold your breath.
The anchor broke the impact as it crashed into the water's surface. Anya swung her legs forward. Slater did the same. Her hiking boots hit an arm of the anchor. A sharp wave of cold water hit her lower back and shoved her forward. She collided with Slater's chest, but he shoved her away. She lost all concept of where Slater was until his foot kicked her shin. The stinging connection almost made her release her air. Then she realized what he was doing. Slater was tangling his leg in hers. Whatever he had planned, she let it happen. And then he grabbed her shoulders with both hands. He was free. Pulled downward, arms first, and body following Anya, Slater clung to her. He shoved the chain into her hands. She grabbed a twist of links. They had stopped descending. The anchor must have landed on the bottom, but it could still slide down the incline. Looking up, the surface glittered silver. They were no more than 20 feet under. Slater fussed at her wrists. He must be picking the handcuff locks. It was the only thing that made sense. Anya held the chain that would keep them weighted and prevent them from floating to the surface. In the next instant, her right hand was free. Slater wrapped his legs around her waist to keep them together. With a tug at the chain, she took his signal and dropped the heavy metal links. They floated upward. Her left hand was still cuffed, and she dragged the length of heavy chain with her. Grabbing her hand, Slater tugged her sideways. They kicked through the murky water. He aimed for under the dock. It wouldn't be wise to surface out in the open if Neville and his gang were still around. As her head broke the surface, Slater shoved a palm over her mouth. Vision blurred by water droplets, she focused on his shaking head. He put a finger to his lips. Don't make noise. He pointed upward. Careful not to sputter and gulp in air, Anya treaded water. The heavy chain pulled her down until Slater grabbed the links, reducing the weight. Overhead, she eyed the shadows moving over the slatted dockboards. They'd stuck around to make sure their quarry didn't surface. Slater made the okay sign and questioned her with his eyes. She nodded affirmatively. Slater put a sure hand to her back and tugged the chain. It helped her to stay above water. The shore was still 30 feet away. Together, they moved toward the shore slowly, riding the residual waves from the anchor drop. They followed the overhead footsteps.
No, I'm talking about the warehouse. What should we do? Go inside.
Destroy it and those inside. Let's clear out.
We need to get out of this country by the end of the day.
Pick up the EUCs and get out of here.
You're not okay. Put your arms around my neck.
Anya renewed her kicks, but slung her free right arm about his shoulders.
I can make it to shore. But I'm not keen on drowning.
Slater hooked an arm around her waist and led the way toward shore.
You are calm and focused. I'm impressed. I thought I might have to drag a body up to the surface.
The shore was steep and slick with algae, but they managed to climb to the mossy bank. Before they summited, Slater scanned the periphery. The dock was situated in a recreational park that had been closed for flora restoration.
Clear. Unfortunately.
Anya rolled to her back and stretched out her arms. The handcuff dug into her wrist, but she could not complain. A glimmer of the setting sun flashed orange on the horizon. The scent of motor oil and seaweed hung in the air. Overhead, a seagull tilted dangerously close, then swooped off over the water.
They said something about going to the warehouse. I'm sure that was Neville's voice.
They're going to destroy the evidence.
Can you get your MI6 guys on it?
I can't call the operation off, Anya. And bringing in more men would shut it down fast.
So you're gonna maintain your cover? Isn't the gig up? He tried to kill you.
Just breathe, Anya. Christ. We've both risen from Davy Jones' locker. Give me a few minutes to think, will you?
A few minutes could mean the difference between them picking up Neville's trail and ultimately finding Eric, or never seeing them again.
But they have weapons somewhere in the area?
In the warehouse where you drove the truck. They'll move them to the harbor. Fast. Neville is disgusted with all the meddling, namely by you.
But what about the dig? Were more diamonds found?
2 more rafts. Enough to satisfy Neville's need for finances.
Wait a minute. Is Eric in the warehouse?
Anya, I...
Is he there now?
It's very likely.
Then why'd you take me to the hospital this morning?
I thought I could get you to chase all over Cork, looking in every hospital, while we cleared out the dig site and the river drop. Didn't anticipate you'd go for a ride with my boss. Or that bandits would decide to go shopping in our stash.
You bastard! Eric could have been harmed or killed in that time. Just who are your alliances to?
Eric is not a detriment to Neville's mission. But now that you've made it clear to Neville the kid is on your team, I'm not so sure. We should go. Right now.
Anya shoved a hand in her buttoned pocket and pulled out her cell phone and gave it a flick. Slater lifted her wrist, holding it gently.
Let me get that handcuff off for you. Don't tell me that thing still works.
Waterproof to 30 feet. I like your underwater lockpicking skills. What'd you use?
The bow for my sunglasses. I was sweating when Neville took them from me.
Slater stuck the end of the wire bow into the handcuff and worked his magic.
Quite the MacGyver.
Who's that?
A guy on... Forget it. What was that about EUCs? I already know too much. May as well tell me the rest.
That's the worst argument I've heard in a long time.
Have you got a rebuttal?
Why does that sound more sexy than you obviously think it does? End user certificates. Neville's not my ultimate goal, Anya. Someone has been forging EUCs.
I've heard of them. For shipping purposes?
When weapons and ammunition are shipped, flown, or transferred to another country, they must be accompanied by a signed and notarized end-user certificate. The certificate guarantees that the guns will be used in the receiving country and not be rerouted somewhere else to be used as a means of terror. It's meant to restrict the flow of materials to embargoed states. Neville's forger does a bang-up job, but he's not on our payroll.
So MI6 wants this forger?
If he's not on our team, we can't control him.
Wait, you said they were going to destroy evidence at the warehouse. Would that include something like people who have gone missing from the dig site, including Eric?
Probably.
We have to get back to that warehouse.
We're out at city's edge with no vehicle or weapons. We'll never make it in time to stop the destruction.
Eric is my responsibility. I won't let him down.
I guess that means we're going for a walk. I don't have my wallet or ID. Won't be easy to rent a car.
Are you telling me MI6 didn't teach you how to hotwire a vehicle?
Anya, Grand Theft Auto is against the law. But I like the way you think.
They scanned the area. On the way to the dock, they'd driven about 10 minutes from the warehouse. They were still within city limits.
West. It's a quiet part of town. Mostly warehouses and old machinery shops.
They climbed the moss-padded embankment and slopped their way across the gravel. 5 minutes later, they'd entered a neighborhood that reminded Anya of a medieval village with its narrow streets and terraced houses fit tight against one another. It was the kind of neighborhood she could live in. A pimped-out white van pulled up alongside Anya and Slater with an abrupt squeal of the tires. Slater gripped her arm. She allowed him to pull her back, so he stood in front of her. Slater slapped at his shoulder holster, but Neville's man had removed his gun.
Who is it?
Oh, this day just gets better and better. It's the bandits who hijacked a truck.
The van doors opened. Out jumped 2 men, followed by the familiar leader in the knit beret. This time, he held his AK-47 ready to fire.
Hello, love. We meet again. Got your boyfriend with you this time, I see. What are the two of you selling today, if you will?
Sorry, fresh out of contraband weapons.
I have a bone to pick with you.
Get in line.
That diamond you traded for the weapons was flawed.
You're fashing me. That's a risk you take when you...
You said it was grade A. I know me rocks, and that stone was bloody grade nothing. The thing shattered when I tapped the crown with me pistol.
What the hell did you do that for? Diamonds are not forever. The diamond industry only wants you to believe that Valentine's crap so you shell out the big bucks for your woman.
Shut up!
Let's talk about this, mate.
I am not your mate. You duped me out of 50,000 pounds and this prime bit of bird. Now you and the bird are going to bleed.
You wouldn't kill an MI6 agent.
She's lying.
MI6?
Uh-huh.
Show me your ID.
I don't carry ID because I'm not MI6. Don't listen to the woman. She's been chasing fairies all day.
The leader jerked back a shoulder as if offended by that remark. He gestured for his men to lower their weapons. Approaching Anya, he tilted the AK-47 against his shoulder. A strong whiff of marijuana surrounded him.
The other crowd, eh?
Why the hell not? They've been stealing crew members from an archaeological dig.
You see?
Studied as intently as any man with glassy eyes and a gun could possibly do, Anya defied his insolence with a sure stance. Finally, he nodded and stepped back.
I believe the woman before I believe the man who tried to sell me worthless glass.
It was diamond.
Is that the kind of diamonds your Mr. Neville deals in? And he's got an MI6 agent attached to him? I think I will leave the poor bastard to his own troubles. Leave them.
And that was it. The men piled into the van with the intention of driving away.
Are you headed into town? We need a ride.
Fairies, eh?
Yes. Maybe. I'm sure they're out there somewhere. I felt their presence.
Well, hop in, love. Where are you headed?
To White Street.
Slater gave the address.
Will I be delivering you to the man with the glass diamonds?
No, he's too far ahead of us. It's a matter of life and death, though. A friend of mine. He's in trouble.
Rolling his eyes and swinging his weapon, the leader gestured he was in compliance. Anya was allowed to sit in the front seat and grabbed hold of the door for support as the van peeled into motion. Slater fit himself into the back among the other bandits. A small glass bong suspended by a black ribbon bobbed from the rearview mirror, and various empty shells and AK-47 magazines littered the floor.
You best be careful if you're tracking the fair folk. Me cousin went for a 5-day walk last summer, all in his own backyard. He didn't escape the fair folk's clutches until he turned his clothing inside out.
All righty then. Anya refrained from asking if the cousin had been eating magic mushrooms. She glanced at the bong. Her eye fell upon a business card stuck in the open ashtray. She grabbed it and winced as she read the single word and a phone number. She flicked it at the leader.
Wine?
Oh, aye. If you want some bloody good wine, you go to that man. He likes to barter. You keep it. Tell him the handyman sent you.
Will do.
The armored truck raced away from the warehouse as the bandits' van chauffeuring Anya and Slater arrived.
Shit! Quick, dammit! Follow that truck!
Wait!
Anya opened her door to keep the leader from driving off.
Don't you see that smoke? Eric could be in there.
I have to track them. They'll lead me to the harbor where Neville may have a contact waiting. It's imperative.
You think the forger could be waiting there?
Yes.
Then leave me behind.
Slater grabbed her arm as she attempted to slide from the passenger seat.
Let go, Slater. It's just smoke right now. I can still get inside to look for him.
You're going to inhale smoke and never make it out. Give it up, Anya. He's dead.
No.
Let it go. And you too, mate. Get out. We're not a taxi service.
Slamming the door behind her, Anya stalked toward the warehouse. She eyed a wooden barrel below a water drain pipe slinking down the side of the building and headed toward it. Slater stepped out of the van, running, and peeling off his shirt as he did so. He tore it in two as he approached her. Anya grabbed the shirt sections and dunked them in the water barrel. Slater squeezed the water from his half of the shirt.
Are you always this stubborn? What does hosting a television show have to do with running into a burning building? They don't give medals to idiots, you know.
Anya smirked, tied the wet shirt over her mouth and nose, and tugged it down.
I thought you had a forger to catch.
I'm giving you 15 minutes. We can't be inside this building any more than 5 or 10, as it is. We may be smoking now, but it could become an inferno in a heartbeat. Stay close to me.
You stay close to me.
Anya turned and kicked in the front door. Smoke billowed out, and Anya squinted against the burning fog. He was right. More than 10 minutes in this death trap, and no one would be walking out alive. Fortunately, the warehouse was wide open, which dispersed the smoke, yet it also provided more oxygen to fuel the fire. She scanned the warehouse floor. Not one wooden crate had been left behind on the bare concrete. The office was located on the upper floor that overlooked the loading dock. Flames licked around the door, but hadn't yet crept to the walls.
This way!
Anya pressed the shirt over her nose and mouth as she ran. Anya took the steel staircase, hugging the wall, 2 steps at a time. Rushing to the end of the landing, she kicked down the door she suspected was an office, sending flame sparks flying into the smoke-filled room. Ducking low and stepping inside the office, near the door, someone grabbed her ankle. It wasn't Eric. Slater dragged the bound man out.
I got him! It's Brian Ford. He's alive!
The admittance of air into the room fanned a burgeoning flame licking in the office corner near the window.
Hey!
Anya raced to the wall, and beneath a boarded-up window, she found Eric. His hands were bound before him, but his ankles were free. He could have walked out, unless he was drugged.
Eric, it's Anya Creed.
Anya tugged his arm, but he wouldn't move. Instead, he gazed up at her. His face was black from the smoke, and sweat runneled streaks in it.
You're so beautiful. Your wings.
I'm not a fairy.
Yes. Yes, the fairies.
Well, he's high on LSD. Slater!
The MI6 agent crouched on the floor next to her and assessed the situation.
I can lift him over a shoulder if you help me get his head and shoulders up. The smoke has already zapped my strength. We have to hurry.
The wall behind them exploded, shooting splinters and sparks into the room. Heaving up Eric's head, Anya shoved him towards Slater. He managed to wrangle Eric onto a shoulder and stand. Slater stumbled and faltered.
You're gonna make it!
It's too smoky in here!
Just follow me!
Anya grabbed him by the belt loop and led him toward the door. Anya and Slater emerged from the office. Outside, the other man sat in a daze against the stair railing.
Can you move on your own?
He nodded when he saw Anya.
Get down the stairs, now!
He shuffled forward on his butt and took the last 2 steps in a leap. Landing on the concrete in a belly flop. He might have broken something, but he wasn't yelling in pain. Slater used the railing for support, sliding against it as he stepped down and made it to the ground. He stumbled once he reached the bottom step. Anya lunged to catch Eric's body, and he sort of rolled over her, and she bent to make sure he landed more gently than Brian.
Sorry.
No apologies. Let's get out of here. I've got Eric. You brought Brian.
They raced to the door and outside into the gray evening sky. Anya placed Eric on the ground and tugged the shirt from her face. Clean air infused Anya's lungs. Slater collapsed near the water barrel. Brian's body splayed out beside him. She tugged the shirt from Slater's face and gave his cheek a smack with her palm. Anya turned to Eric to assess his condition. He'd be okay, but she had to get him emergency care. Brian, too. He'd passed out near the doorway. Raindrops spattered her head and shoulders. For once, she was thankful for the weather. And yet...
Where's the other guy? I thought there was another one.
Anya gripped Brian's shirt and shook him.
Was there another man with you?
Richard? I think he ran off.
Anya could only hope it was an escape to freedom, and ultimately a local hospital. She checked her watch.
5 minutes to spare. Time enough for you to drop us off at the emergency room before heading to the docks.
Deal. I'll find us a vehicle.
Slater touched his cheek and winced.
Is the slap necessary?
You were flirting with unconsciousness.
I never flirt, Anya.
And that's a good thing. What will you do when you find the boat?
I'll take care of it, Anya. It's not the shipment I'm worried about, as I've explained.
But after you've arrested the forger, you have to stop the boat, right? Can you get to Neville once he's taken to the open water? What if they've already departed?
Anya, leave things to me. Right? Got it under control.
Do you think the handyman went after them?
Doubt it. The bandit knows MI6 is involved now. That'll keep him away, and ensure he alerts every criminal in Ireland of my identity. Thanks for that, Anya.
I was trying to keep us alive. I know it was stupid. I am sorry.
You're good at staying alive. I like that about you. Let's find us a vehicle and get these men to the hospital. Hell, a phone to call an ambulance would be good right now.
Anya tugged out her cell phone.
What's the emergency number in this country?
Anya answered her cell phone on the first ring. Eric slept peacefully in the hospital bed to her right. He didn't wake from the noise.
How many times does a man have to leave a message to get your attention?
I never realized how desperate you were for attention from me, Garin. What's up? You've called half a dozen times.
Where are you?
Where are you?
In the same damned country as you. I'm looking for Wesley Pierce. Are you okay, Anya?
I am. How do you know Wesley? You're in Ireland?
He was managing a dig my company, New World, was supervising.
You own New World? Why didn't you ever tell me you owned an archaeological dig management company?
Is it so important right now? Where can I find Pierce?
In a cooler. He was shot this morning by an arms dealer named Frank Neville.
And you are investigating? Sticking your nose into places it probably shouldn't be stuck.
It's been stuck since before Wesley's death. I'm here in the country, officially, to chase fairies.
You know, I believe that.
Neville's running guns, and I got stuck in the middle when he decided to kidnap Eric, my cameraman. Eric's okay now, in the hospital, recovering, thanks for asking. Did you know about the diamonds found on site?
I got the phone call from Pierce last night. Diamonds? I thought it was singular, just one. How many?
Besides the one Wesley found? Neville had a rough, but it turned out to be flawed. I'm not sure of any others found, though I suspect it was a treasure cache that may have yielded a couple prizes. But it couldn't have come from the ground. This area isn't conducive to diamond mining. The mystery of the diamonds confounds me.
Anya, there are some things you're better off not knowing about.
Gotcha. So that means I won't get any help from you unless I jump through your hoops? Gotta go, Garin.
Wait, listen. Can you give me a location on Wesley Pierce? New World should contact his family.
I'm not sure, but a local mortuary would be a good place to start looking. Michael Slater might know. He was directing half of your dig, and he's MI6. Do you know that?
MI6 is involved? Then I'm out. I'm not treading on their walk, and you shouldn't either, Anya.
Don't worry, I'm done. As soon as Eric is well enough, we're hopping a flight back to New York.
What's his condition?
Whoever took him gave him LSD to make him think he was seeing fairies. That's how the local rumor got started. The doctor said he should be fine with the rest.
And this was done to him by someone I employ?
I'm not sure. Do you employ Frank Neville to run guns for you when he's not digging for diamonds?
I'm having the name checked out, but I haven't heard of him before. You're in such a mess, Anya, and still you didn't answer my call. Didn't you think I would offer you help if you asked?
Your help always comes with conditions. I'm fine, Garin, really. Though I am still curious about the origin of those diamonds.
They're from a 19th century heist.
What? How did you...
It's called the Internet, Anya. People use it when they want to find things out and do research on obscure facts.
Or surf for porn.
Let's not bring your private habits into play, sweetie. After Pierce called me about finding the rough, I did some research at Ireland's National Archives website, because I am also aware the country does not spit up diamonds from its soil. And if you've been looking over the dig, you could verify my theory.
All right. Shoot.
Seems in 1850, one Elizabeth Price, daughter of an impoverished landowner in your area there, decided to take her chances and hop a ship to Liverpool during the height of the potato famine. How am I doing so far?
Potato famine? Yep. We found evidence of the pathogen that destroyed the potato crops at the same level I suspect Wesley found the rough diamond. Continue.
Seems Price was only in Liverpool 3 days before the police grabbed her and deported her to Cork. The English were very keen on keeping the Irish out of their country. Let them starve and keep their diseases to themselves. Miss Price, though, was a crafty sort, and hooked up with one Harville Kilmer of Kilmer Gemstone Acquisitions one night. I assume he thought he was picking up a whore. He woke in the morning, absent $500,000 in rough diamonds he'd been carrying in packets in his valise. It was kept very low-key. The police pursued Miss Price onto the ship, but never found her. Kilmer put a Bravo on her tail to follow her home. The company never reclaimed the diamonds. The Bravo was discovered dead on a Cork dock a week later. Seems he had syphilis and was in a bad way even before embarking after Miss Price. My research places the Price family land in the dig area, very close to the Bandon River. You didn't know that.
I hadn't gotten that far. Wesley told me about the diamond, and then he was shot as I was standing beside him.
Neville?
Yes. But don't worry.
Right. MI6 is on the case. Want to make a bet your gunrunner walks free?
Well, that's ridiculous. He's murdered two people that I know of, and I'm sure they're not his first. Michael Slater knows what he's doing. I trust him.
Sure. So I guess I walk away empty-handed. No diamonds, not even a date with the prettiest woman on TV.
Christy isn't working this segment with me. Sorry.
Christy is far from pretty, Anya. She's more the cheerleader persuasion, which encompasses a whole different scale of beauty. And trust me, it's a shallow beauty.
Whatever.
You're tough and smart, but you're not keen on taking compliments. That bothers me about you.
Don't lose any sleep over little old me.
I don't, actually. But I do wish you'd embrace your beauty more freely. And then again, your lacking vanity is refreshing. So few women are like that, Anya. That aside, you need anything else?
No, I think I'm good here. Thanks, Garin. And thanks for the history lesson. It helps to fill in some holes.
Talk to you soon.
Yes, Doug?
Anya! How's it going? Haven't heard from you for days. I was beginning to wonder if the fairies got you too.
I'm fine, Doug. Thanks for asking.
And Eric? How's he enjoying the Irish beer?
That's Guinness, and he's sleeping right now.
At this hour? I know it's like 8 in the evening there, Anya. I did the math.
Yeah, well, Eric spent the night in the forest filming. He's been working very hard. I'm impressed with his work ethic. I hope his teacher appreciates what he's doing for this report. He's kicking back for a much-needed rest. Doug, what does Eric's father do for a living?
I told you, he owns a film company, and I think he does notary stuff on the side. He financed a trip there.
Yes. Funny you didn't mention that to me before I left New York.
I didn't think it was necessary. Why? What's up?
I didn't say anything was up. So how does Eric's father know Daniel Collins?
Not sure. Maybe he sold him some wine?
Could be. What do you mean by notary stuff?
You know, he officiates important papers and stuff. What do you call it? Notary public. That's it. Why?
Just curious. Eric and I haven't had much time for personal chat. We've been so busy filming.
So you got good footage? Actual fairies?
What do you think, Doug?
Just remember, I am the Photoshop master. Any clues on the missing people?
They were found, and they're doing well. The two men are currently hospitalized. Unfortunately, the girl died in the hospital. Drug overdose.
Anya?
Give us another day here, will you? Eric and I will bring home a great feature for the show. Promise. Bye, Doug.
Anya hung up and leaned against the hospital wall, closing her eyes. It was never easy when innocents were harmed or murdered because they got in the way. Both Brian and Eric were going to be all right. The nurse had said Eric needed a day of rest, and he could be discharged tomorrow evening. Walking out the emergency entrance, Anya scanned the horizon. The harbor opened to the sea in a dash to the east, and she walked, following the fresh lure of the salted sea breeze. She'd known this trip was not a vacation, but right now it felt good to steal a few minutes to relax and get her head together. An iron-railed parking lot overlooked the neat harbor. Anya counted 8 boats, all local boats and skiffs. It was small by harbor standards, but also had very little supervision. A gunrunner's perfect foil to a larger port like at Cork. A cruiser yacht was moored at the far west end. It must